Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 9 o'clock service on Sunday, June 19th, 2022.
The epistle is from Galatians chapters 3 and 4. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, for you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept underground and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdmen heard what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there can really be no doubt that we live in a time where fewer and fewer people go out in public after nightfall. Aware of the risks, law-abiding citizens remain behind closed doors to avoid being robbed, assaulted, or even murdered. Today, many homeowners have gone so far as to purchase a firearm, maybe more, for personal protection. Perhaps you have done that as well. Others invest in elaborate home security systems, and many people do both. As we can see, living in fear has become a growing industry and a growing reality in today's society. There are people who live in fear of an unknown future. There are also individuals and groups that angrily decry people around them and express their fears over things like climate change and social or economic injustice. And very unsurprisingly, many of us fear those folks who have such angry voices. Christians today feel threatened by a woke movement, a movement that promotes a godless society, and with it, godless practices that none of us would have thought even possible just a generation or two earlier. As you watch and listen to what's going on around you, has that struck fear in your hearts? If that's the case, fellow believers, I want you to take heart, because you can be assured that God does not take these things lightly. God is not amused by the antics of impenitent pagans, nor does he find any joy in your fear of those noisy people who choose to rebel against him. As the world moves ever closer to the day of final judgment, Jesus would remind you, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." We need to heed Jesus' words, and we need to be cautioned, for God is not mocked. And with those words, I ask, does Jesus' word of warning frighten you? Or could it be you're more alarmed by the plummeting stock market, a shrinking portfolio, rising gas and grocery prices, COVID-19, monkeypox, random shootings, and conceivably nuclear Armageddon? There are all sorts of fears. Would you like to know what frightens me? This does. When I see empty seats, it grieves me to see that many folks' fears of bodily harm is far greater than their fear of Almighty God. This grieves God as well. And that's a problem. Fear has kept people from gathering in the house of God, and that presents a far greater threat than any bodily disease. And yes, this pastor genuinely fears for the souls of God's people, because fear is Satan's tool, his primary weapon in his battle against God for ownership of your eternal soul. Fear can take you hostage. Fear can lead you forever away from God and your salvation. Make no mistake, fear is your enemy, a powerful and dangerous adversary. My friends, are you afraid? Are you afraid of what the devil would like to do with you? If that's the case, the Lord Jesus Christ has a question for you. First of all, I want you to recall that time when Jesus and his disciples got caught in a storm out on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was peacefully asleep in the boat while his disciples feared for their lives, and so much so that they awoke Jesus, who calmly rose and rebuked the waves and the wind. The sea became still, the clouds lifted, peace was restored. And then Jesus turned to those men and asked him, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Today, Jesus asks that same question of you. Do your fears expose a lack of faith? Fear has no place in the life of a Christian. You cannot allow fear to be your master. In a world where demons are always prepared to strike fear in the human heart, consider our gospel text for today. No sooner did Jesus and the 12 arrive safely on shore when that threat of fear presented itself yet once again. We are told as soon as Jesus stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. When the man saw Jesus, he fell down before him and cried out, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Did you catch that? These terrifying demons were terrified of Jesus. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. That's what they said. That's how the demons addressed Jesus. That's why Scripture tells us even the demons believe, and they shudder. What does that say? Well, you're certainly not going to find any atheists among the demons. In fact, the demons have a far better knowledge of God's word than you and I. And how do those demons express that great knowledge? They do with the greatest of fear, because the demons know who is in charge. They know that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead. The demons know what awaits them: eternal torment in a lake of fire with no hope for parole. And so, the demons express fear in the presence of Jesus, Son of the Most High God, and understandably so. But what about those townspeople? Why were they afraid of Jesus? Those who had seen what Jesus did told everyone in town how Jesus healed that demon-possessed man. And when the townspeople came out, that man sat there calmly at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed and in his right mind. The demons were gone. Peace had been restored to their town. But that didn't put an end to the fear of those townspeople. I ask you, how crazy is that? From where does this fear come? From the beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, when they surrendered the dominion that God had given to them over to Satan and his demons. From that time, we enter into the world with those same fears that motivated those townspeople to tell Jesus to go away. Because sin flees in the presence of holiness. Sin sees Jesus as that stern judge who cannot wait to throw us into hell. Sin moves us to be afraid of the only one who can drive out those demons from among us. I ask, how crazy is that? Well, I suppose it's no more crazy than what we see and experience out in our world today. I don't think anyone can deny that the whole creation is descending into chaos. And the devil is taking advantage. Demons are hard at work 24/7, at every level of society, and wherever you may go. And together they all share in one insidious goal: to stir fear in the human heart, to breed hatred and terror of God until the day that you die, so that they can drag you with them into the pits of hell. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, those demons will not hesitate to use anything as a means to their end, even those things you believe to be good, like those summer plans, the visitors, the sports, the picnics and reunions, which become excuses. And if I may say so, lousy excuses to miss out on the God's gifts. And these are only a few of the things that the demons use to drive a wedge between you and God, to gain a foothold in your life, to weaken your relationship with Him, and to drag you away with them. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, If missing out on any of these weekend pleasures is what you fear the most, then you have bought into Satan's lies. And if your desire for this life's activity is greater than your desire for God's grace and forgiveness, well, then maybe you ought to be afraid, because your priorities are misplaced and something's got to change. That's a change which only the Holy Spirit can make when he works the miracle of faith in your heart. He silences the demon's lies so that you can hear the word of Christ. The Spirit enables you to see Jesus for who he is, not as some impediment to your earthly life's pleasures, nor as a stern judge who wants to send you to hell for your sins, but as a loving Savior who desires that you join him in heaven. Jesus is the one who destroyed the power of those demons who seek to sow fear in your heart. Jesus is the one who opened up heaven to all believers with his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the one who will one day return to see us live in eternal joy with him. After Jesus healed that demon-possessed man, that grateful soul wanted to take his place alongside Jesus and his disciples. But Jesus told him, no. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. The man did as Jesus said. The man did what Jesus tells you to do. That's what he wants us all to do. That's our Lord's command. Jesus tells us, now that I have given my life to save you, go and tell others what I have done for you and want to do for them. And that, my friends, we must all do. Because those demons are still out there. They're still lurking about. They're still searching for those lost and wandering souls that can steal, they can steal away from Jesus. That endangered soul may very well be someone you meet on the street, or it may be a member of your own family. You've got a job to do. Everyone needs to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has asserted his power over the demons. Everyone needs to know Jesus has conquered every evil with his suffering and death on the cross. You need to let them know that sin, death, and the devil have no power over those who believe in him. Is this what you believe? Then you have no reason to be afraid. Death has no power over you. Jesus was put to death to pay for your sins. And Jesus has risen from the dead to put all your fears to death. Jesus has gone before you to prepare that place where you can live with him forever. And now, until that day arrives, Jesus comes to you today with his word and to give you his gifts of love. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, my prayer for you is this, that his love for you will lead you to seek an ever stronger and living faith. A faith that desires nothing more than to give glory to his holy name. May God grant this to us all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.